The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 2016. We are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docspreferred.com, Sorenex.com, also to Steven Santangelo's Athlete's Choice, Unleash Your Strength with Relentless Metabolic Endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. You can contact him at primalcreations at AOL.com. We're on Facebook, STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO, period, 75. GrasslandBeef.com, another good friend of mine, John Wood. Their meat is loaded with CLAs and omega-3s, grass-fed, grass-finished. They also have grass-fed lamb, bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. PlanAYearOfWorkouts.com, that's a workout logbook to plan your success. You can also get it on Amazon Prime for $5, no shipping. Also, StrongerGrip.com, they've been around for 10 years. They make gear for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestlers, and you've seen their trophies on ESPN. They also have been featured in Men's Health magazine, and they made custom hammers for Mick Dodge and thousands of strength-oriented people out there. And today is the last day to win that big, epic sledgehammer that Ryan built for myself and FBC here. This is how it goes. At midnight tonight, the contest is over. What you have to do is you got to upload whatever you deem strength, and it doesn't matter if you're on the show or not, I'm including everybody. Upload it to YouTube on the subject line. Put FBC and Stronger Grip with a dash and what it is. Go down below in the box. If you want to explain it further, that's fine. But please put your email address in. If it's not in there and we pull you, we got to go to the next one because I've asked everybody to do that, and that's not a lot to ask. So please, if you're going to enter between now and midnight, do that, and you will come on Motivation and Muscle with Ryan and myself. And as I say, you never know where that could lead to. It's an opportunity. 8xclub.com. Those are adjustable exercise clubs and maces. These are competition maces and clubs for the AKA Vintage Strength Games. And I thank Donnie, as he says, he's a proud sponsor of Motivation and Muscle. The top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, that's a free ebook on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. And the two products we have out to date is Strength Times Power Equals Success and the Winner's Circle. Those are all out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. And, you know, like I said, everything that we put out here, we do. Nobody writes our content, and surely nobody's out, you know, doing our work. So we take a lot of pride in that. Take a look at them. They will change your life, and I will help you any way I can. Also, too, sponsorship. That's a big, big nugget here every month. $500, and that is not a lot when you consider most podcasts or radio shows or both are charging double or triple or even more than that. I'm up to my ninth show already since Sunday night, so I've had to take it a little easy on my voice. I've still got four more shows till Sunday morning, so we're going to hit 13 this week, and I would have hit another one tonight, but something's going on personally, and I had to cancel that, so we would have had 14 this week, but they'll be all rescheduled anyway. So come on board with us, join our family, join our millions of listeners, and, you know, let's work together for the next 25 years. Well, today we have Jed Johnson on. Jed started with us last month. We're really glad to have him on because, as everyone knows, he is one of the foremost grip guys out there. You know, if you haven't seen him or you haven't met up with him yet, I would suggest going out on Facebook and friending him because he's always got something very interesting out there he's doing. But I'm going to give you a little bit on Jed. Number one, he's a speaker. He's a performing strongman. He's a three-time national grip strength champion. So, Jed, welcome to Motivation and Muscle. And before I bring you in, we're going to talk about the Thomas Inch dumbbell, and Jed's got a brand new I imagine it's, he can correct me, I'm sure it's downloadable, maybe he's got a DVD, but we'll go into that, and it's How to Lift the Inch. So welcome to the show, my friend.
Yeah, man, thanks a lot for having me again, dude.
Absolutely.
I'm all about grip, and we're going to talk about the inch today, and I'm really excited, bro. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. That's not a problem at all. We like to have good quality people on here that not only are authentic, but they, you know, they love offering solutions and helping people. And I know just from your reputation, that's the deal. That's why we went after you. Let's get into the inch. And, you know, why don't you give everybody a little bit of history on the Thomas inch that isn't familiar with it and might be interested in getting into this great, you know, street feet of strength. I'm sorry.
Absolutely, man. So Thomas Inch was a European strongman back in like late 1800s, man. And he would go all over the place, and he had a series of challenge dumbbells in various weights. I believe there were four dumbbells, and the 172 is the one that has gotten the most popularity, the most renown, but I actually believe there was a bigger one. But
yeah.
Those other ones don't matter. When you hear something about the inch dumbbell, we're talking about a 172-pound dumbbell with a nearly 2.5-inch handle, probably closer to 2 3/8, though, and it's globe-shaped cast iron, all one piece. Mm-hmm. So the thing about this thing is 172 might not sound like too much. There might be a lot of people listening that can lift 172 pounds on a dumbbell handle. But when you consider that the handle is so close to 2.5 inches, just about the size of a soda can, and the globes and the handle are all one piece, it is just a vicious piece of history in your hands. It does not want you to pick it up. The second it breaks from the ground, that instant, it starts rolling away from your grip. So it's really hard to lift. I don't know if you ever tried one, Eric.
I've got one, brother. I've got it off the ground. That's as far as I could get it. And I've got James Fuller on here again tomorrow night. Now, he's in Maine, so he's about 5 hours from me.
Yeah.
And he wants to come down and train me on the inch. But, you know, right now with the stones and everything, I just got too much going right now.
Yeah.
Because I would like to, you know, pick it up with two hands and give it a shot overhead. But that's going to take a while to do. But I am going to have him come down here and do some grip work with me, too. It's only going to benefit me stone lifting. But you know what I want to ask you, too, Jed, is this. I mean, obviously you've been doing some massive grip work for a long time. I'm just going to tell you where I come from. It just seems like, you know, you're going and doing this, and then it evolves into this. And then that just seems to be the way things go with me. Tell me this. I mean, obviously, if you feel it's done the same way with how your evolution of training's gone, but what got you, you know, what got your juices flowing into the Thomas Inch where you wanted to get after this beast?
Well, my initial strength love was strongman, and then I found out about grip, and I knew that grip was going to be real important for strongman, so I started doing that. And when I first got started, one of the things that was being talked about a lot was the inch dumbbell. And there was a contest that was scheduled in Pennsylvania in 2003. And it was only like a three and a half hour drive. That was nothing, man. So I was like, heck yeah, man, I'll do that competition. And they had a side contest, a side giveaway where you could get $500 if you cleaned and pressed overhead the inch dumbbell. So, I wasn't sure if I'd be able to do that, but I was like, when I get to this thing, I want to be able to lift this thing up. And I worked on that thing for a long time with plate loadable handles, and try as I might, dude, I was nowhere close to lifting that thing off the ground. So, I mean, it's a big asset to have large hands. Absolutely. Yeah. I would never disclaim that. I think it's very important to have large hands, but even at that time with big hands, with experience, it still laughed in my face. It's a formidable challenge.
Well, you know, we hear this all the time, and I've talked to Bill Hinburn and a lot of other people, and it's always make sure you work the thumb because that's going to be the weak factor. Now, would you agree with that? Or I mean, obviously, you got to have strong fingers, but, you know, anybody I've talked to about this or anything big and thick, they're always telling me, you got to have a very strong thumb to be able to do something like that. Tell me your feeling on that. And if you don't agree with that, tell me what you would do to create, you know, the ability to lift anything thick, well, let alone the inch.
Sure. Yeah. Well, there's two ways to go about it. You're either going to use fingers and thumb primarily, or you're going to use fingers and wrist primarily.
Yep.
Okay. So if you can get more wrist involvement in there, you don't need as much thumb.
Okay.
If you can, if your advantage is your thumb, then you don't need as much wrist. That's the situation that I'm in. So I get a good solid wrap with my fingers. I get as much of my thumb on there as possible, and then my wrist doesn't come into play. The problem with that is, though, Eric, my thumb is so long and strong that over the years I've been able to depend on it, and now my wrists are kind of like a weak link. So,
gotcha.
So, you know, looking at the long haul, I think it's important to train it, you know, both ways, or at least include training for, you know, don't neglect anything. Make sure that your weakest link in your chain is still being worked on a regular basis.
So as far as the wrist goes, now this is a thing that kind of goes back and forth with me and other people, because we're always talking about this stuff. If you're going to, you know, we're going to work the wrist. Say we're going to do, I know a lot of people say do wrist roller, you know, still the basic stuff where you're doing, you know, a wrist curl. I always like, and I like doing reverse curls with an Apollon axle a lot, but tell me what you think the best movements, if you had to use one or two to build the wrists. Because I agree with you. I mean, the thumb is vital, but man, oh man, if your wrists aren't strong, that's, well, I just know from carrying stuff, the way you're bent a lot of times, the way your wrist will kind of wrap around the front of a stone.
Mm-hmm.
I've had points where, I mean, I had pain like right through the center of the wrist, and I know that had to be a factor from them not being strong enough to deal with that kind of bend too.
Yeah.
And when I went out and just did basic stuff, like, you know, seated wrist curls, or, you know, like I said, the standing reverse curls, I always had very good luck with that. Because, you know something, Jed, I'll tell you, there's so many things out there to use for grip, fingers, wrist, you know, biceps, the whole thing. I still think the thick bars, man, are the best. Well, this is my opinion, and you can tell me your feeling on it. I've had more success with thick bars than anything. I really have. Now, what would you say to that, and what's your feeling as far as building a good wrist?
Well, I would say that most cases, wrist roller is pointless and worthless if you're doing it the way that I'll describe right now. If you're holding like a dowel out in front of you with a rope hanging off of it and then a weight hanging off of the rope, I think that is a complete waste of time for strength building. I think it pumps you up. I think it'll probably build muscle, but I don't think it's going to do much at all for strength. I think if you're going to use a wrist roller, it needs to be a mounted wrist roller, and I think you need to focus on moving serious weight with that thing. And I also think that in any wrist training that you do, you have to include postural exercises. So mainly those are isometrics at various angles, because with an inch dumbbell lift specifically, and I cover this in the video, and it does come in, it is in digital format, by the way, you had asked.
And not to interrupt you, we'll talk about that after we get through this. We'll get right into the digital.
Right.
Okay.
So you want to work of various angles of your wrist. One of the drills that I prefer, and I this is something that I prescribe for a lot of people in the training programs that I set up, is something that I call a gooseneck hold. And basically what you're doing is using a thick bar implement, and you're doing you're lifting it off the ground into wrist flexion.
Okay.
Your forearm pretty much hangs straight up and down, but then you're flexing the wrist against the resistance. So it's almost it's similar to like the hook of arm wrestling, or cupping, only you're keeping your thumb on top. What that does is it works that postural, that angular position of the wrist in a way that is strength based versus, you know, behind the back wrist curls. I actually like those a lot, and I think they're really good for building forearms. It's just because you're doing repetition, and no real holds, I don't think you get the same kind of benefit strength-wise that will carry over to the inch dumbbell.
Okay.
So I'm looking at things as purely what is your biggest bang for your buck. Can you get stronger wrists from behind the back wrist curls and wrist rollers? Yes. I think you'll get them much quicker, though, if you use an exercise that is designed specifically for bringing up wrist strength, such as the gooseneck hold.
Now, with any type of, like, you know, we always hear people saying, let's hold on to a bar, you know, loaded, whether you're going to pull it up against a set of rods to do an isometric hold or whatever. Does that have any... carry over to lifting an inch, anything like that, or no?
It could. I would say that you're moving away from the specificity level that I like to focus on for a feat.
Okay, all right.
So, you know, I have a concept that I've been working on called the grip specificity continuum. Okay. And what that is the varying degrees of specificity of your training, and you apply it to what you're working towards. So if you're just trying to bring up your hand strength because your hand strength is lagging behind, then probably the best thing you want to do is thick bar work. And it doesn't really matter what kind of thick bar work you do, because it's going to make your hands work harder and it's going to get them stronger. However, that may not be the perfect work that you would want to do if you're training for the inch dumbbell. Do you see the difference there?
Oh, yeah. So absolutely.
Like, for your training with the Husafell stone, you've got that loadable implement, and that's probably one of the best ways to train for the Husafell stone, aside from having an exact granite-cut replica of the stone itself. So that's what I'm talking about. What matches the pull distance, the wrist angles, the size of the grip, and things like that, what matches the best, those factors – so that you can apply that to your training and get your biggest bang.
I'd love to bring that stone home, but I might have a problem getting it through the airport, you know?
It might be an issue. For some reason.
Those Icelanders would cut me in half because they all know what that damn stone is, unfortunately. So that'd be the end of my ass for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and even with the inch, I mean, grip work is so essential. And you know what's amazing now? I'm starting to see more and more people talking about getting a stronger grip, doing this, doing that. I've always done grip work, but I always felt my hands are pretty strong. I mean, I don't do grip work per se. Okay, how do I explain this? I do a lot of my grip work at the end. I don't sit and do grip work for a workout, which I probably should start doing. But Bill Crawford was the one that really got on my ass about it, and really the light bulb went off, because he's saying to me, you know what? You know why you're losing the stone, and you know why people come over here that are big as hell and can't lift a 200-pound, you know, Atlas stone? I'm like, why? Fingers. I'm like, fingers, okay. He goes, just start doing a row. Grab a bunch of stones, and he goes, I know you got tons of them in your driveway. He said, start doing bent rows and dig your fingers in. And I've been doing that, and I've had a lot of success with it, and I've gone back to the thick bar training and the dumbbell row and all that with a 2-inch handle. I can tell you this. Now, I'm not saying I could take and launch an inch dumbbell right now. I haven't gone even near it. It's sitting in front of me all the time. My hands and fingers have gotten considerably stronger. I mean, to the point, I think I might have told you on the first show, if I didn't, I was talking about, you know, when we talk isometrics, I have a cement garage, okay? So I was doing the same thing with, you know, rowing the stone, digging the fingers in. And I'd spread my legs apart because I would try to hold it till failure because I didn't want the thing to drop and break my foot.
Yeah.
And what I was doing, I was take my fingers, dig it in, and push it as hard as I could against the cement wall to try to get that isometric. And I think that's been a really good thing I've done too. I'm just always out messing around with something that's thick or heavy. And we'll see what happens with it. But, you know, I even that kid I'm training now, Alex, who's just turned 15 – he's been doing grip work since day one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's very underrated, very underutilized, and it has – I'll tell you what. I had a guy here I was training. He was 71 years old, and he was in pretty bad shape. He had gone through all that gastro work and all that. Mm. And he was so weak, Jed, literally, he couldn't even take the top off of a pickle jar. He had no hand strength, okay?
Wow.
I'll tell you what I did with him. I've got these smaller sledgehammers that I had him hitting a tire with, just kind of sitting there beating it like a drum. And then I've got the grip machine, and just started with nothing. And by the time he left here, I think he was up to like 65 pounds. Then he could take and just literally tear the tops off. And now, when you get a guy that is that aged and has had multiple health problems, and now he can take tops off things, that just shows you how beneficial your grip is.
Yeah.
And why you should really, really get into it and commit to it. So the next question is going to be, I'm trying to think. I don't remember how many have lifted the inch over it. I know I remember that picture of Kazmaier. How many people do you know have ever put it over their head? Do you have any idea?
Like, are you talking about like cleaning it one hand and then putting it overhead?
No, usually the people I've seen have started to clean one hand and then used the other to balance
it. Oh, yeah.
That
changes it so much, man. I mean, I've done that. I can do that. So you're talking, it's probably at least 100, 200 people have done that because it's been in – I mean, it's probably more than that, brother, because you see contests now, strongman events, where they're doing – well over 150 pounds on these monster dumbbells.
Yeah, I know. You know? Everybody's got one of those circus dumbbells now.
Yeah.
It's like, I you know something? They're great. I think it's the look that what makes them look so good, but you could load up any dumbbell. I wouldn't even care what it looked like. I like the old school ones, man. You know, you use the, you put the, whatever you want to call it, those bulldog collars on and lock them down with a wrench. Everything I use is using tools all the time. I don't have really, you know what I mean? I don't really have much that you turn on. Most of my stuff, you've got to use a wrench to put it on a bar.
Right.
Which I like. You know, it digs into the bar, but so what? I know one thing, I'm going to have my teeth still if something ever happens. So, you know, I've seen you two lift 2-inch, one in each hand, obviously.
Yeah.
But before we go to that, I guess that's what I was going to ask you. Have you ever lifted the inch with one arm and pressed it, or are you working on that?
No, that's something that I'm currently working on is the clean. Right now, in my current state, I don't think I could actually put the inch dumbbell overhead, even if I cleaned it with two arms, just because I haven't tried that in so long. But at the height of my strongman career in like 2005, it was like any time I wanted to, as long as I was warmed up, I could do it. So, you know, once – because I had an inch, you know what I mean? I had one, so it makes a big difference if you have one and you can use it. So,
Well, and you know what it is, man? It's like there's just so many things out there to do. But I like the idea of something like that. It's been around forever. It's got a big history to it, and it's like it's really a feat of strength.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like there's so much stuff out there now. It's like I kind of get lost in it. It's I still like just stuff like that. I don't care. You know, I like the log lifts. I like all that kind of stuff. But I'm not like that one trick pony where you see all over the place. The problem with me is I'm just spread too thin with everything.
Yeah.
I never. Well, we just started a thing now. You'll love this, man. John McKean, who used to write for Hard Gainer in the 90s, he's a great guy, and he's an all-around lifting. He just turned 70, and he lifts like a madman still. And he said to me, I talked to him a couple weeks ago, and he says, how's your shoulder? And I said, it comes and goes, but I said, you know. He goes, can you get it back to do the dead stop squat? And I'm like, yeah, first couple sets are a little tight, but then I'm okay. He goes, I got something you want to do. And I'm like, okay. He goes, how would you like to learn how to dead stop squat not using your arms? I said, well, now you got my attention.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've been doing is I've done, what, I think 7 or 8 workouts I had done in like 9 days, and I never do stuff like that. But you have to learn it. So what you're going to do is you're going to get the Olympic bar as close to, you know, the whatever you want to call it, the four, you know, stand where, you know, where it's all built in, the power rack. So basically – you want to put the bar against the back set, and you start off the rods, and the idea is to come up and push your hands right through the middle of your thighs and stand up. Now, you can't go up all the way with it because it's going to roll off the back of your traps.
Right.
This thing was insane, dude. I was doing, you know, a little weight, you know, it'd be trying to tip left, right. It rolled off one time, and it was giving me, like, road rash all over the place and tearing traps up, okay?
Yeah.
Because I was using a really good old school York bar. It was one of the black oxide ones I got, and I was like, I better stop doing this. I'm going to wreck the knurling on it. So I went to a different York bar that the knurling was a little bit more rubbed down on it. So, you know, we're progressing more and more. So after the fourth or fifth workout, it seemed when I started putting weight on it, I had more control of the bar. Now I was getting used to it. So I hit a 301.5. Then, like, 3 days later, I hit a 354, and Sunday, I buried a 400, man, and I'll tell you, that was screaming, man. And then I got the idea. I said, you know, how are we going to build pathways real good so we can go higher and higher? So I did just like any smart guy would do. I took the other set of rods and built an isometric hold out of it. So if I can go 2, 4, 6 inches, and right at about 6 inches, it's right almost to the height where you'd be totally up as far as you could go.
Yeah.
And I did an isometric hold for a count of 5 Sunday with the 400 pounds. So it's a nasty lift, man. And I'm getting more and more into this stuff now. I mean, John's a big influence on me because I've watched him and listened to him for years. And I love all that old-time stuff. And I've never really got into the one-arm deadlift either, with the Olympic bar or the two, whatever you want to go. And I've been doing that. I mean, I've only done it a couple times. I'm using 100 pounds in each arm, which is shit for what I should be doing. But I'm not using it as a as a main movement. It's more of like an adjunct to make the stones better, because I know I can get a good solid pull in the center of that bar and that thing's not rocking down or back on me, you know, it's going to help my grip too. So that's what I've been kind of doing now. I love it. I love those, dude. I love those squats, man. I'm telling you, they have fired me up more than anything I probably touched in 10, probably more than the stones did when I started.
That's
them.
Cool. That's awesome.
There's just something about it. You know what I mean? You can't use your arms. You got to use the middle of your thighs to push off on. And either you're coming up or you're tipping that thing or it's coming off the back of you. I just love the danger of it too, man. It is so much fun. But I didn't want to get in, but I thought you would appreciate something like that. So what are the plans? And I want to get right into the DVD next. What are your plans then for the inch this year? Do you got something big you're going to attain with it, or what are we going to do here now?
Yeah, dude, I'm really working on the inch clean. I've got a good friend, Juha Harju from Finland, who is also training for that. And I watched several videos of his online, and finally I was like, man, I can't just sit around and watch this anymore. So I've been training that both with the inch, and we got a bunch of dumbbells made up. So we've got 2.5-inch dumbbells made out of cold-rolled steel, and there's one of them that's 140. So I'm working on getting consistent cleans with that. That's one of my main strength goals this year.
Yeah, that's a nice – let me ask you this, too. We've seen some big people move that. And, I mean, this is a common question because, I mean, if you watch the Arnold, you know what I'm going to hit. Body weight a big thing with that?
With the inch?
Yeah, I mean, we know you got to turn that thing over and press it. I mean, let's face it, 180-pound guy might have trouble with that.
You're talking about something that, I don't like it when people say, oh, he's got big hands, so, you know, he's automatically going to beat me. Because I think that kind of is a cop-out on the person, especially for feats where, you know, people that are 100 pounds less than me have beaten me on them. So, but with the inch dumbbell, man, that's a big man's feat. There's no doubt about it. You don't have enough acreage on the handle. And then, you know, you're talking about 172 pounds. I mean, can people do a 172 pound one arm clean with a barbell or a one arm push press with a barbell?
Sure.
You know what I mean? That takes the grip totally out of it, but it really shows you how tough it is.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I've gotten to the point where I've pulled it up and then trapped it against my body on the high chest.
Yep.
But I mean, I still was unable to, like manipulate it enough to get under it for a press. So it's such a complex lift. And really, I only know of one guy, Lane Snook, that's really broken it down. Technique wise,
that boy. Yeah, he's a nasty lifter,
dude.
Man.
He's huge, man. He is fantastic and nicest guy, man.
Yeah,
nicest guy.
Well, usually the guys that are good lifters are pretty much always nice guys. They're not threatened, and they like to help people. And you know, they're pretty much, You know, like they're like that silent giant. You know what I mean? They just kind of go about their business, and you know, I always say, let the ones who make noise, let them make noise. Usually, they don't have much to offer, anyways. But no, I agree totally with that. Guy's a beast.
Yeah, dude.
Let's talk about your new product, How to Lift the Inch, and why don't you get into some of the highlights with it, and obviously you want everybody out here in Motivation Muscle to get this and, you know, tell them how to get it, et cetera, et cetera.
Awesome, man. So what I wanted to do, what I always want to do is make, like, the complete exploration of a topic when I do the product. So I went through pretty much – I mean, it took me months to shoot this product, which everybody tells me is the wrong way you're supposed to do stuff, but you know, that's the kind of product that I like to put out. So the planning process took me weeks and weeks. And I was really like trying to go back and think about everything that I've ever learned about the inch and put it into this product. So I broke it down into several things, and it's been a while since I actually sat down and watched the product, so I don't know the actual order. But like
okay.
A big portion of the beginning of the product is technique. Like there's actually
nice.
A way that you can optimize your grip, how you put your hand on the implement that that people don't realize. I see people that are, you know, very experienced struggle with the inch, and I know if they adjusted the way they applied their grip, they would get a better hold because you're able to take advantage of the elastic properties of your skin. So, you know, there's things like that, how the weight is positioned in relationship to your body is going to make a difference based on what your individual strengths are, your leverages and things along those lines. So I covered all that stuff in the technique. And then I went through and I analyzed how all of the different training implements that are on the market work in as far as developing the strength that you need for to lift the inch dumbbell. So,
okay.
For instance, I would say 95% of the people that are training to lift the inch dumbbell are basing their preparation around the Rolling Thunder because they don't have an inch dumbbell. And in my opinion, that's 100% the wrong way to go.
Okay.
It, kinetically, the motion is different. The pull path of the implement is way too short. The action of the handle doesn't work right, you know, and pretty much the only thing that it does for you is it puts you in that open hand position that you need for the inch.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that's just not enough, in my opinion, in order to prepare properly to lift the inch dumbbell. So I give an assessment like that for so many other different pieces of equipment, not just stuff that you would buy, but stuff that you could make. I show you how you make your own loadable dumbbell for like $10.
Jeez.
That's basically, dude, what I trained on for like the first year, and I credit that homemade implement for enabling me to lift the inch as quickly as I did, because I soon bought an inch, and then once I had it, dude, it was like 2 months. I think I bought it in November, and by January I was lifting it. But
that's nasty, man.
But I was, and that's to lockout. I was breaking it off the ground several inches prior to that because of the preparation I had already put in.
You know what it is? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
About drills. I talk about deload methods. I believe deloading the inch dumbbell is one of the best way to go. I talk about the ways that you can do that depending on what you have access to. I mean, I really go about it in a way that, if you have an inch, you're all set. If you don't have an inch, you're all set, because I'm showing you enough stuff that you can do in your training that you will be prepared to, you will be prepared as well as you possibly can with the information in the DVD, no matter what tools you have at your disposal.
See, and that's where it's worth the money.
Yeah.
Because most people are going to tell you, you got to go buy this or you got to do that. And let's face it, Jed, not everybody's got a lot of
money, man.
That's
right,
man. You know?
The thing that infuriates me is when I actually do buy a product and it's like 20 pages.
Yeah.
Like the market is so used to buying ebooks off of Amazon now that are crap. They're $5.
Yep.
They're 20 pages. I mean,
that
is not the kind of product I put out. People are like, how can you charge what you charge for your product? I was like, because it's 10 times longer than what you're used to buying. So,
and maybe you give a shit too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Yeah, you know something? It's like with everything in this industry, there's maybe a few percent of people that really understand it, know how to market properly. You know, I have my degrees in like marketing / IT, all right, with the under end on the IT, and it was like, you know, that's what we were always taught in marketing, always over-deliver.
Yeah.
Over-deliver everything you do because you can never give enough. But and then you'll hear, well, I'm not making a lot. Well, I got news for you. No one understands the power of goodwill, I don't think, anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
You got to connect to your audience. You got to let them know that you're the real deal. And when you're putting stuff out like you got, you know, that's going to really increase your press. I mean, I know people know you out there. I'm not, but there are people, believe me, that don't know you or I out in the world like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you can look at, I'll give you, for instance, I ran into a friend of my sister's. Now, all this guy does is pretty much walk, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he had no idea that I even existed in the podcast world. So he stopped by my mother's house, and I was over doing some stuff for her. And he says, Eric, I got to tell you something. I'm like, yeah, Mike. He's like, your podcast is awesome. And I was like, well, thanks. I said, I didn't know you listened to it. He goes, well, you know, I don't work out like all these guys do, but he goes, I love the inspiration of the show and everything you deliver with it. And I was like, well, thanks. You know, and look it, when you're touching people's lives that don't even lift weights, that, you know, for them walking is more than adequate,
mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. You deliver, man. You deliver. And that's what I always say about here. I don't care what you do, you're welcome here in my home. You know, that's very important, and it's the same with what you're doing with the Inch. It's like, you know how many people don't have the money to go out and, say, buy a 2-inch handle out of Iron Mind,
right,
or go to Elite and get – you know what I mean? It's just – it's a fact of life.
Yep.
What do you think most of these people did? Look at how much shit was built out of wood before even got into steel with stuff,
yeah,
man. You know, I got a guy – it's interesting. Big martial arts guy. It's funny as hell. He's got these big, heavy bags, and you would think nothing because, you know, it's not this fancy shit. It's all loaded with stone and sand. That's what he punches, dude.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And it's like most people would have something, you know, just built real tight and you'd hit the canvas or whatever.
Right.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But think about if you don't break your hands on this thing initially. Can you imagine the carryover? Just think of the hand strength and the punching power you're going to have when you're hitting small stones and dirt. But I know I'm getting off of that. So – as far as this goes, what are you selling this for, Jed? And they can get this off your site. Just give us how they can do that.
Yeah, this one is on my website, thegripauthority.com. It's
okay.
thegripauthority.com/how-2. So it's how to lift the inch dumbbell with dashes in between each word. How to lift,
okay,
the inch dumbbell.htm. Or you can Google it, and I'm sure it'll come up. But thegripauthority.com/how-to-lift-the-inch-dumbbell. .htm, and I'm not sure what the price is right now.
Okay, that's all right.
It's been a while since I looked at it. It comes in digital, and it comes in hard copy. So the digital is $42.95,
okay,
and the hard copy is probably like $49 or something like that.
Yeah.
But
yep,
I mean, yep, again, it's like over 2 hours. So it's like over 2 hours, and we talked about all the stuff. I mean, like I said, this is coming from somebody that worked from not,
exactly,
being able to lift it to now I'm carrying it for like 12, 15 feet. It's gotten good reviews from people. The guy that you mentioned earlier, James Fuller, he just picked up an inch dumbbell. He just bought one from us, and he also bought the DVD. He gave it a big thumbs up.
Nice.
It's, you know, I, like I said, I put my passion, my heart and soul into these products, and I want people to succeed. I want people to say,
absolutely,
I got this DVD and I was able to lift the inch dumbbell. And I've been able to do that for people with the red nail, bending the red nail and closing the number three gripper. And this is going to be just as successful in helping,
yep,
people lift the inch dumbbell. So
yeah, and you know, man, you're doing a hell of a service for people, and I applaud you on that because, like I said prior, not everybody's got the money to buy the tools, and when you can tell them things that they can build where it's pretty economical,
yeah,
and look how far you got with it, you know, that's going to push more people into getting into stuff like that, because that's usually, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, the cost of things usually a lot of people can't deal with. And, you know, you got to look at it this way, though. You got to make a living, like I got to make a living. I mean, but, you know, I think like yourself, you know, I've given a lot of stuff away, because my whole thing is this. It's always going to come back to you, number one. But number two, it's like a lot of people have helped me right to this point now, and you know, have given me things or sent things to me, or, you know, let's work together on something. So I think we got a great community here, man.
Sure.
I think that we're all for everybody, and the ones that aren't, you don't want to deal with them anyways. You know, I've had enough of some of it, and it's like, it's okay. You know, the herd gets thinned out one way or another. But before we get off the show and everything, summarize, you know, the Inch. You want to talk about, obviously, the digital piece of it. Anything you want to summarize with it. What I want you to do at that point is give out your websites, any information you want. Let me give my stuff out. If you'd hang on the line a minute, I appreciate
sure.
it.
Sure, absolutely. Happy to. Thank you. It's How to Lift the Inch Dumbbell. The Inch Dumbbell is easily one of the most identifiable grip strength feats. It's been around for the longest time. And unfortunately, through all this time, there hasn't been a really good guide to take you by the hand and show you what to do, from your beginnings in grip to years of experience in grip work. The DVD will outline exactly what you need to know in order to cover all the bases, from the minutiae of how to apply your hand to the dumbbell itself, to how to build some of your own homemade equipment, to knowing what to buy on the market so that your further purchases make the most sense and give you the best benefit in your training, to what to do once you save up the money and buy your own Inch dumbbell, because a lot of people are doing that these days because they know that that's the best way in order to be able to train is to own one yourself. And then once you have one, what exactly to do with it, because most people will not be blessed with the strength and the hand size in order to lift it from the beginning. So you got to be in it for the long haul, but it's one of those feats where, man, I see videos and pictures of people lifting the Inch dumbbell for the first time, and it's like just the light bulb, the neon lights are going off in their head, man. It's like the 4th of July, and the fireworks are going off because they've been training this thing for so long, so dedicated, months at a time, and when it finally comes up to lockout, dude, it's like the biggest celebration. They might not be comfortable enough to scream and holler and woo and yeah, brother, like I do, but on the inside, that's what's going on. So I know what feels like.
I don't know if I heard you say before. Now, do you market the Inch, or where if you don't, where would you suggest going?
Yes, I partner with a guy named Steve Slater from Slater's Hardware.
Oh. He's on. Guess what, man? He's on with a Saturday morning.
Dude, he's an awesome guy, man.
Hell yeah,
awesome
man.
Guy.
He is. I've done business with him for years, yeah. You know, and I tried to get him on initially, and he was a lot of people are a little bit shy about coming on at first, but you know, he's into all the stones, and we were going back and forth, and I said, "You got to come on. You got to come on." Finally, I got him, and he got his Skype working, and we have our first podcast at 8 o'clock Saturday morning.
That's awesome, man. He's such a nice guy. You talk about nice guys in the strength world. He's one of the nicest,
yes, sir.
Bro.
Yeah, he is.
Yep.
He's great. You know what I want to ask you too, because you know, I've had multiple suggestions from people. You don't have to answer this. We could talk offline. I'm not putting you on the spot either. Circus dumbbells. Is there anybody around that you've ever dealt with on them that you feel would be someone I want to look at?
We're coming out with those in like a matter of weeks.
Okay, then I wait for you.
Yeah, like I just got one Tuesday. I went up and visited my guy, and I just got it into the gym Tuesday. Okay. So yeah.
Then we'll have that next time you're on, or before that, you know, we'll have to talk about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Definitely.
Do you got anything else you want? Websites? Anything you want to give out, Jeff?
Yeah, my primary informational website is dieselcrew.com. And if you want an Inch dumbbell, if this sounds like something you want, and I definitely think you should go after this. If it seems like something that you're passionate about, everybody out there, is go to dieselcrew.com/store, and you'll be able to pick up an Inch dumbbell from me there. And then I'll throw this out there, man. The best way for you to get good at something is having the right information, and I've got a grip strength instructional coaching website called thegripauthority.com, and I would love to have your listeners join there. It's been around since 2010, and the second you join for $1, you get access to every single thing that's ever been posted there. And while dieselcrew.com has a ton of information, thegripauthority.com blows dieselcrew.com away, because that is where I house my absolute best information on grip training, grip sport, and feats of strength. And there is a ton of stuff on there about inch dumbbell.
Okay, because when we get off the air, I might have to give you a call. I've got something I'm going to run across to you, because I've got something in the works too. So we'll talk about that. So you got everything right now, brother?
Yes, sir, man. Thank you very much for talking, and I hope everything goes well, dude. Keep up the good work.
Okay, just hang on. I'll be right with you. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, Sorenex.com. Primal Creations at AOL.com, Facebook, STEPHEN.SANTANGELO, .75 for Steven Santangelo, GrasslandBeef.com, we all know that, that's all grass-fed, grass-finished, don't forget that, Jason Fulner's, PlanOfYourWorkouts.com. This is obviously a logbook for your success. You can go out to Amazon Prime for $5, no shipping. StrongerGrip.com, we've gone through all the gear they make, and that goes right into our contest. Midnight, it ends, to win the big sledgehammer. Upload your YouTube video and just put right on the line, FBC Stronger Grip, and what it is on your subject. Go down below, make sure you put an email address, and you will come on Motivation Muscle when somebody wins out there. And I've already looked at a bunch of them, so there's some really nasty stuff out there. It's going to be hard, man. There's a guy out there, I'm not going to give his name because I don't want to interfere with anything right now. This guy's doing I think he's like about 70 pounds over his body weight doing a pollen axle deadlift, and he murders the thing. And he's talking to me. He sent me a note and said, I'm going to do a double body weight soon. I was like, this guy weighs, I'll just give you this, he weighs 156 pounds, man. It was nasty, but there's some really, it's going to be hard to pick somebody. But I wish everybody the best of luck, and don't forget, you still got time, so go out there and take care of that. 8xclubs.com, they're adjustable exercise clubs and maces. Don't forget Fiorella Barbell Co., the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, 10 paragraphs, ebook. Give us your email address. You're not going to get any spam. You know, all I can tell you is take control of your life and take some action. That's how it all is. On FiorellaBarbellCo.com, strength times power equals success. And also the Winner's Circle. Those are my two biggest products to date. We are going to have many more, too. I got news for you. We're going to have a thing specific on training the Husafell Stone when we get a little bit settled here with everything. So that's just one of about six products that's sitting on the shelf. I've got enough right now to even write a book if I want to, but there's just too many things going on. It will all happen down the road. So check out those two products. Sponsorship is big. $500 a month, and don't shake your head, because I'm telling you right now, you're on with one of the best people in the business. I have the best people with me. Listen to the information Jed alone gave you today, and that's all free content. A woman that has been looking at my marketing here, who worked for McCormick, which is one of the biggest spice companies around, said, I have more content than they do. Think about that. That's how much content rich we are out here. So come on board with us for the next 25 years. Be part of my family. Obviously, you know that $30 goes to muscular dystrophy for flu shots for the kids. That's what FBC and M&M is dedicated to my brother Jimmy, who passed away from that. He had the cruelest form of it, if it was ever called that, called Duchenne. And I will never forget my brother, believe me. And every day I put my feet on the floor. And it could sound cliche to anybody, but I got news for you. I thank God every day, man. It's a privilege to be able to put my feet on the floor out of bed. So come join us, man, because we are killers out there. FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us a 5-star review. That's what everybody's done, and I thank them for that. Also, too, we're on Facebook, Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle, Twitter, Fiorello Eric. And don't forget, if you'd like Jed and I to do a specific show, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. And I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give words of encouragement or inspiration. You know, words can do so much, man. And we've got the ability here to change people's lives. I've already gotten notes from people where we have, we are here, man, and we've arrived, and we're coming for you no matter what. So never be afraid to do that. As my mom said to me, and she still says to us when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going out to lift today, bend it, twist it, press it, pull it, squat it. If you're going to grab some stones, take them and see if you can crush them in the dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Stone Crusher says, domination and blood red on both sides. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow it. And here's the best thing of all. I put this on everything now. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Don't take no for an answer. And no matter what anybody thinks or says, keep going, man. That is the secret of success. Keep going. Even when days feel like they're throttling you right through the ground, keep going, obviously. And then, as I always say, no one will ever clip our balls. And as the great Russell Furr says, who's been listening to Eminem since the beginning and has been a guest on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. That's one of the nicest things anybody's ever said to me in the show. And we will say that to the day we sign off. Jed Johnson, thank you, sir, for being on. A great show, man.
Absolutely, my man. Thank you for having me once again.
Anytime. We love having you on. So for Jed Johnson, this is Eric Fiorello. Jed will be on with us in April. Believe it or not, April. Holy God. As I always say, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road. Tell 100 friends, because if you don't, we're coming for you anyways. Have a great week, everybody, and thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.